over 75 years, my dad, Pastor Salem, touched lives all over the world with his love of Jesus. Hello, I'm Mike Salem. With your prayers and financial support, we at the Christian Worship Hour are grateful to be able to continue to broadcast his messages, proclaiming the Word of God. A viewer from North Dakota wrote to us not long ago saying, "I listen each Sunday to Christian Worship Hour and enjoy the message. I hope you can remain on television for a long time. It's a blessing when one can't get out as much as we'd like to." And from an inmate in California, "I am currently in prison and Pastor Salem helped me through many a dark hour. I was a very sick person before Jesus found me. He changed me from the inside out. The Lord has not left me nor forsaken me and led me to the Christian Worship Hour." When you personally invite Jesus Christ into your heart, you become a citizen of the kingdom of God. We hope today's message, the believer's citizenship, will be of encouragement to you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we have a very special service today. We're going to be talking about the believer's citizenship. And tomorrow is going to be the 4th of July in the United States, and so we're celebrating our independence. But this is a message for the nations of the world. We are all citizens of some nation somewhere. So it's not just America, but it's the whole world we're talking to. And we're looking at Psalm 27 today. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." And oh, Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful today that we have this wonderful hope that we're going to be someday in your presence and we're going to be in your temple and there'll be no sun or no moon because you're the light of the world and that will be in that new Jerusalem and we're all going to be there if we have our faith in the dear Lord Jesus. But we have to have Jesus. He's the only way there. And so in our service today, help us, Lord, to think of our wonderful liberties we have in Jesus Christ and help us to show the way to those who don't know you that they will enter into the same joy and happiness that we have. This is your service, and we thank you, dear Jesus, that we can worship you all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa has a song, and you're going to love it, "The Old Rugged Cross." God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Thank you, Melissa. God bless you. And that's the heart of our message, is the old rugged cross, because that's where we get our liberty. We talk about liberty and freedom. We have none unless we have that wonderful Savior come to the cross and be liberated from our sins and our prejudices and our hatreds and all of the rest of it, and be made new creatures in Christ. Oh, thank God for the cross. And like St. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the centerpiece for this wonderful Christian worship hour. Well, we want to thank you for letters. We get so many letters, we read every one of them, and we just think it's so nice of you to take time. And I'll tell you the nice thing about the letters. We'll know more about how to pray for you. We'll know what we should be preaching about, what you're thinking about. And then listen to this. People all over the world are hearing these letters, and they'll pray for you. And you can tell us some of your trials and troubles and tribulations or some of your needs, and there'll be people everywhere praying for you. So it's just the letters are very, very important. And so we're going to look at some of them today. The first one is from Mound City, South Dakota. And this person writes and said, I am in a nursing home. And on Sunday morning, most TVs are turned to the... I work in a nursing home. And on Sunday morning, most TVs are turned to the Christian worship hour. There was a Sunday, it seemed that every TV had the Christian worship hour on it. It was just great. I thank you for convicting me about tithing. The Lord brought it home to me when someone rented our land on a crop share, never paid us our part, but kept the money and spent it on himself when it was never to his to spend. Neither is the Lord's part of my income mine to spend, no matter how much I think I need it for myself. I read in Deuteronomy, it's teaching me to put God first. That's an excellent letter and then an excellent illustration. And here they're on sharecroppers and they didn't pay their share to the owner. And when we get our gifts, when we get our money on our pay, whatever it is, 10% belongs to the Lord. God says, I'll give you 90% for yourself, but I want you to set aside 10% to show that you respect what I'm doing. And I don't know what you do with that 10%, but I know what should be done. And in Deuteronomy, it says we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and we're to give our tithe because we love the Lord Jesus. Good letter. Thank you so much. Here's Newark, New Jersey. I came upon your ministry and really liked what I heard. I thank you for the word you preach and how you make it simple and plain to understand. This is a portion of my tithes. May God ever bless and keep you strong. And so this is a nice letter. And here's somebody that gives their tithe, and they'll find joy in it. And then Great Falls, Montana. And this person writes, thank you for your program on Sunday. It blesses me so much. I don't have a big income, but I would like to share with you what I can. And I tithe so I can be a part of what you do for our Lord. Now, this is something that I didn't notice. But when I put these letters together, I just put them so that I don't have the same state together and light, and some are long and some are short. And I put it here, and here's three letters in a row talking about the tithe. And I didn't know it till I read it. Praise God. He's trying to tell you something, trying to tell me something. And I'm going to tell you, I've failed God in a lot of ways. But my wife and I, we always tithe. My mother taught me that. I tithe all my life. It's a joy to do it, believe me. Here is La Crosse, Wisconsin. I am already born again, but I fell away. I teared up when you started talking about the story of the prodigal son. God is so good. I know his will be done in my life. That really touched my soul. Praise God and thank you. If you may, please pray for God's will to be done in my life as I am facing prison. Thank you so much, and God bless you, your sister in Christ. And, you know, the beautiful thing about the gospel is you can always come back. You can always come back. And I know that I've drifted away from the Lord. There's been times, and many people have, maybe all of us. I don't know, but I know I have. But he'll always take you back. You can always turn over the page and start a new page. And I had a little sermon one time called The Land of Beginning Again. And you may have just messed up everything and you come to Jesus. He wipes the slate clean and makes it pure and white, and you can start again. Now, here all over the world, now we want to pray for this dear lady in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and facing prison. And by the way, we do hear from so many people in prison. And we're just so glad that we can minister to them and they can worship with us. And where iron bars can't stop the Holy Spirit. And so we're all a part of the body of Christ if we're trusting Jesus. And we think about the prisoners and pray for them often. Well, let's see. Oh, listen to this one. This is Port Charlotte, Florida. And this is a grandfather. And he has a little granddaughter, 13 years old. And he sends a letter that she has written to us. And he is so happy because she knows Jesus. She's accepted Jesus. And now here's her letter. She said, "Dear Pastor Salem, I got a question for you." Now listen to this. This is a 13-year-old girl. Listen, she says, "Will we see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven?" Can you imagine it? God bless her. She's been reading her Bible, see? She says, "Will we see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven?" In chapter 4 of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar repented and worshiped God. Nebuchadnezzar even wrote the 4th chapter of Daniel. "I'm sending some money. I'd like a copy of your booklets on suicide and salvation in our Savior's love. P.S. I am 13 years old." I tell you, that's beautiful. Here's this little girl. She's reading her Bible. She's worrying about Nebuchadnezzar. Well, you know, she mentions this 4th chapter of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34, we read of Nebuchadnezzar. He has the 3 Hebrew children thrown into the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they are come out of it in perfect shape. They don't even smell a smoke. And Nebuchadnezzar tells us that he bowed to God and the God of heaven. He glorified God as the God of heaven, and he worshiped and he praised God. And is Nebuchadnezzar in heaven? You bet your boots. So this little girl, maybe you can shake hands with him. Be nice to see him. He had quite a story to tell. But I'm so thrilled when we hear from children, and we hear from a good number of children because they can understand the sermons. And they're just as plain and simple that the children can understand. And I always figure this way. If the children can understand it, then all the people can understand it. Everybody can, see? So let's not get fancy and snooty. Let's just preach the word and teach the word. Here's Aitken, Minnesota. "We're both in our 80s and have lots of health problems the last year, but our faith in our Savior Jesus Christ is very strong. We belong to the Missouri Lutheran Church and try to go every Sunday. The house of worship gives us peace and comfort, and you, Pastor, are in our home just before we go. Keep up your service and worship hour. Thank you in Christ's name." And I'm so happy about this. We hear from Catholics and Protestants and all different denominations, and I'll tell you why we hear from them. Because we preach the Bible. Just the Bible. Don't get off in the weeds on different things and all little tiny little things, just talk about Jesus. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets to heaven but through me, Jesus, a person. And that's why people say that they're saying, is there any word from God? We're hearing the politicians. We're going crazy, all these politicians. Does God have anything to say? You bet he does. And that's what we zero in on, the wonderful word of God. And then let's see. Here's Anaconda, Montana. Here's a kind of a different letter. I've never received a letter like this. My wife is cremated and her remains are in my house. I'd like to know how long I can keep her remains before burial. A week, a month, a year? My wife and I always wish that our remains could be buried together. Bless you and thank you in God's name. Well, I answer these letters, and I tell this man, you just keep them right there. And when you go, you can have your remains buried with your wife. It really doesn't matter where you're buried, because God's going to raise the believers up no matter where they are, whether they're in Africa, whether in Russia. It doesn't make a bit of difference. The United States, he'll raise up those bodies. But here's a couple wanted to be together, so that's fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. One more. Here is Port Orchard, Washington. Thank you for getting my husband and I watching the Christian Worship Hour. It has changed our life. And I'll tell you why it changed your life. Because we're preaching the Word of God. And when you come to Jesus and you give yourself to Jesus, it'll change your life. Jesus told Nicodemus, it's like being born again. You'll be a different person. And so when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we become a new creation in Christ. And he gives us another heart. He cleanses our heart. And he gives us a new nature. We got that old nature that wants us to sin. It's called the Adamic nature, the nature that follows after Adam. All of us have that. And that tends to make us want to sin and get into evil things. And then God gives us a new nature. And then we have the old nature and the new nature. So you put the emphasis on the new nature, the things of the Spirit, and it'll get strong and you get closer to God. Oh, we're so happy that we have this wonderful message that God has given us. And we just hope that many of you come to the Lord. And so we have all these wonderful things happening, and they're happening because you prayed for us and you gave to us. Because we are not underwritten by any denomination or any church or any corporation. We're just underwritten by God's people. And so what we do all week after week after week, we just say this. You just ask God, is this program something? Is this service something that you are using, Lord? Is it something pleasing to you? Is it something you want? And then you say, now, Lord, should we support this financially? Should we help them out? And then if the Holy Spirit says yes, then you say, now, what should we give, Lord? And he'll tell you, the Holy Spirit will lay something on your heart. And if he says no, give it to somebody else, that's just fine. But we have to have your help and your support. And for over 38 years now, God has always had his people support and help us. So this is what you do. You send your gift. You send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to, you can send it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com internet. And there's on there PayPal. And then you just pay there, and we'll be your pal. And if you don't pay us, we're still your pal, see? But you may not hear your pal on the TV, because if we don't have the money, we're just going to have to go and go fishing and go someplace else. And so you just pray and give us God leads on your heart. And then we have a little what we call the new song. And that's a publication we put out every month. And this month, we're talking about the month of July. We're talking about the endless life, endless living for the endless life. And it's a little Bible study. It's free and postpaid, and we're glad to send it. We have a couple publications, one on salvation. Can we lose our salvation? Answer is absolutely not. You cannot lose your salvation. But once you're saved, you're always saved. The one is on suicide. And so if you want to, you can send us. We send these out on a free will offering basis. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to know where the money goes, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. So every penny is accounted for. God bless you. So now, Jan, I'm going to pray, and then Jan's going to play, and you're going to pay, and we're all going to praise God, and we'll just go as the Lord leads and as the Lord provides. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for all who are having a part in carrying on this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Jan. God bless you. Now, today we are reading from Romans chapter 13. And here God tells us how we are to be citizens. And it doesn't matter where you live, any part of the world, you are the citizen of some country. And so he writes and tells all the Christian people, here's how you ought to live if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And he starts out by saying, Romans 13, the first seven verses. He writes, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he's the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but for also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their duties, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, every nation has some ruler, and if they don't have a ruler at all, they have tyranny. And that's worse than any ruler, even an evil ruler. At least there's order with an evil ruler. And so you're telling us in this Romans chapter 13 that we're to obey the powers that be. We're to be good citizens. We're also citizens of heaven, and we're going to see that in our message today. But we are also to be good servants and good citizens of our country. And so we do pray for America today, because tomorrow is going to be a special day for them, the 4th of July. But we pray for the other countries throughout the whole world, that there'll be a turning to you, a turning to the Bible, the wonderful Word of God, to get guidance and direction. We pray that the fear of the Lord might come to the end of the eyes and into the minds of those who rule, and all of those who follow, that will give allegiance to Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. And so we just pray that you'll help us to that end. Today, Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in India. And we know that some of them are dying, Lord, because they have evil rulers. And so they're being persecuted. And so we just pray that you'll give help every one of them, Lord, and help us also, whoever we are, wherever we are, if we're a believer, that we will be strong in the Lord even to the point of giving up our life. And if we come to that, may we be willing to do like so many of these wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ have done. They have paid with their life. And some of them, Lord, we just saw the picture in Arabic where they pray and say, Jesus is Lord, and they are beheaded. Oh, my God. And how your heart must ache and how you must receive those martyrs in glory in heaven. Someday we'll see them and know them. But to those who are left behind, we know, oh, God, just give them strength and courage and help them be brave. Help them to be strong because of all their loved ones and the stand they've made. And may the end result be that Jesus Christ is honored and that multitudes turn to Jesus Christ because they can see that he is the way, the truth. He's the only way to travel, the only way to live, and the only way to heaven. May there be multitudes open their heart to the Savior. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank has a song. He's got a good song. He says, In God We Still Trust. God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. You place your hand on his Bible. When you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments and all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt where we stand. There's no separation. We're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to. Every time the going gets rough, he is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust. And erase his name from everything
this country's all about.
From the schoolhouse to the courthouse,
they're silencing his word.
And now it's time for all believers to make our voices heard.
In God we still trust. The going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust. Here in America.
In God we still trust.
Here in America.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you, and that's true. In America, we do trust in the Lord, and we pray that God will help America, but not just America. We're praying for the nations of the world, that they'll turn to God. And God knows America needs to turn to God too. It has so much light and it had so much chance and so much gospel and yet so much wickedness. And so we pray for America and we pray for the other nations of the world as well. You know, the Bible talks about that in Isaiah chapter 9. The prophet of God says, "For unto us a child is born, unto a son is given." He's talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ coming. "Unto us a child is born, unto a son is given." Listen to what he says. "The government shall be upon his shoulder." Not just the government of Israel or the United States, but the governments of the world. Every nation in the world, he is going to be the one that's going to be ruler over every nation, whether they're a godless nation, whether they're wicked, it doesn't matter. What you believe, he is going to be the Christ, the God that rules. Listen to it. He says, "The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now listen to this. He goes into the seventh verse. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." That's the end of all the nations of the world. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. "Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice. The zeal of the Lord of hosts," that is the mighty power of God, is going to bring this to pass. So we're talking about the believer today. We have believers all over the world. They are citizens of different countries, just as we're citizens of America, so they're citizens of their country. And so this is a message that God has given for all the nations in all of the world. And isn't it marvelous? Isn't it wonderful that we can preach to all the nations? Oh, my God. We need to turn to Jesus Christ and make him the Lord, because it's going to happen and he's going to come with great power and might. But the psalmist says, "Kiss the Son lest he be angry and ye perish from the way." Don't be playing with the wrath of God, because he's coming and he's going to rule. Now, when a person is born into a country, he becomes a citizen of that country. And when a person is born again, the second time, he becomes a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so he can be the citizen of that particular country, whatever it is, and he can also be the citizen of God, the citizen of the kingdom of God in the same breath. Now, right away, you'll say, "Well, now, what is this born-again business?" And it's just simply this. It simply means that we accept Jesus Christ. We ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart. We tell him we're a poor lost sinner. He knows it, but he wants us to admit it and confess it. And we just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll turn from my sinful ways the best I can. And I thank you for saving me, dear Jesus." And then you tell somebody and live for Jesus the best you can. That's the new birth. Don't make it any harder than you. Don't make it so hard and you think it can't be done. Children, accept the Lord. I have a daughter 5 years old who accepted Jesus, living for the Lord today. And so God tells us, Jesus tells us, "But as many as received him," John 1:12, "many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God." You are not a child of God until you accept Jesus Christ, until you receive Jesus Christ, and then you become something that you weren't. You become a child of God. And these people that say that, "Oh, we're all children of God," they didn't get that from the Bible, I can tell you, because we're the children of the devil and we're in darkness. And when we come to Jesus and ask him into our heart, "As many as received him, to them gave he something." Power to become something they weren't. He gave them power to become the children of God. And so when you do that, you become a child of God. And so this person is cleansed then from all, for all time. For instance, Isaiah said, God says through Isaiah, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." God is saying, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he'll wash them all away, all your sins. And he says, in their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And then he will give spiritual gifts so that you can serve the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body of Christ as it hath pleased him. And then we will become, then we become citizens of the wonderful kingdom of God. So we're told in Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, not on earth. We're citizens on earth, but this new birth gives we're citizens of the kingdom of God. And he says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things unto himself. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he transforms us, and he makes us into the children of God. And so this wonderful Paul writes, and he says he's waiting for the Lord to come and establish that kingdom and set up that kingdom. And when he comes, we are ready for it. We're citizens of that kingdom. And we'll rule and reign with the dear Lord Jesus Christ. He tells the fellow people at Ephesus, he talks about that. Ephesus 2, verse 19, he says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You never used to be a part of the kingdom of God, but now you receive Jesus, and now you're fellow citizens with the saints. And that's the way it was with Abraham. You remember Abraham, he was looking for a country, but he was moving to Canaan, to another country. But we're told that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11, verse 10. And he's simply telling us, he was a citizen of that country of Mesopotamia, but then he moved when he put his faith in God. He didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, but by his faith, Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. All he had to do was believe what God told him, and that's all you have to do today is believe what God tells you. He tells you, if you receive the Son, you have life. If you receive not the Son, you have not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So Abraham, here he is, he's living and he's moving toward Canaan, but he's looking toward heaven or that city. He's going to have foundations. He lives in a tent. He didn't know what a foundation, didn't never have a foundation, just drove stakes, tent stakes from place to place to place. Then he tear it up and move on, tear it up and move. I want something permanent and certain, eternal. And a city that's made with God. And that's what he had because he believed God. And God counted it for righteousness. So the heavenly place, citizenship, always takes place over our national citizenship. I am an American, but I am also a Christian. And if push comes to shove, I will follow the leading of God. I'll say, follow my citizenship in heaven. And don't you see that's what the martyrs are doing? They are citizens of a certain country, but they're also citizens of God. And they have come to the time where they are to renounce God and renounce their faith in Jesus Christ, and they absolutely refuse to do it. Their citizenship in heaven took precedence over the citizenship of the country in which they lived. And that's the way we always have to live. And so Romans 13, 1 to 7 teaches us that we ought to be good citizens of our country in which we live. But if push comes to shove, we are citizens of heaven above any earthly citizenship. In Romans chapter 13, we just first seven verses, it teaches us clearly, obey the laws of the land. We ought to pay our taxes and not cheat. We ought to and pay them honestly. We ought to pray for those who lead our country. We ought to pray and we ought to vote. And a good citizen will always vote. A good citizen will pray before they vote. And I want to just stop at a moment and tell you right now that you need to pray every time you vote. And just don't cast a vote because you're a certain particular party or case. You check that person and what they stand for and who they are. Should a Christian go into politics, they sometimes say. And they'll say, well, You know, I don't know any place in the Bible where you can't be in politics. Just be a Christian. Be honest. You talk about pastors. Should pastors meddle in politics? Some do and some don't. I'm not going to say a word against a pastor or a friend of friends of mine that are in politics. If God calls him into that, fine. He didn't call me into that, and so I'm not into that. But I know one thing. I'm trying to serve the Lord the best I can. And I know that people say, well, you have the separation of church and state, so pastors shouldn't say anything or do anything. But that's a misreading of it, because our forefathers in America, at least, in the Constitution of the United States, they never had written that Christianity should be outlawed or set aside. They never, ever wrote any place where you couldn't take a Bible to school or pray in school or take the Ten Commandments to school. That's all man-made. And so we need to follow the Lord. Listen, for instance, you have George Washington, our first president. He says it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Boy, the Bible in America. God have mercy on America. They hate the Bible, and they don't want it read, and they don't want it. This is what George Washington, he said. George Washington said in his first inaugural address, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man would claim tribute to patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the destinies of men and of citizens. And James Madison, the chief architect of our Constitution, said this: we have staked the whole future of America not upon the power of government, but on the capacity of each and every one of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God Almighty. That's an architect of the Constitution. And so what does America do? We are way off in left field. And we're calling America back to God and all the nations back to God and back to the Bible. And some of you never, ever had the Bible. Time to get the Bible. Start reading it and studying it and following it. And so when we come to vote, we have to be very careful, because in the United States of America, for instance, we have a terrible problem. Our morals in America are frighteningly low. The ever-increasing crime rate. We have a divorce rate that's soaring. Drunkenness stalks the land. Drugs are prevalent. Corruption is seen in public officials daily. Sinless living, singles living together in sin is so commonplace they don't think about it. Cheat and graft is everywhere. Now, I want to tell you something. Who's going to call America or any of the nations back to God if it isn't the church and the pastors and the Christians? Who's going to call America back to repentance and back to God? The liquor traffic sure isn't going to do it, and the drug peddlers aren't going to do it, and the pornographic producers won't do it, and the gamblers and the swindlers won't do it, and the scientists aren't doing it, and the medical world isn't doing it, and Congress isn't doing it. Who's going to do it? It has to be the church. It has to be the people of God. And so I'm telling you, dear friends, when you go to vote, you pray, and you pray hard on what you ought to do and how you ought to do it. And just take, for instance, take the matter of abortion. If you vote for abortion, the blood of those little babies is on your hands. And you just remember that when you go to vote, because abortion is murder. And that, and as far as when life begins, it begins at conception, according to the Bible. Paul said, God talked about Jeremiah, and he told Jeremiah, he says, before you were conceived, before you even start to form, before you were a tissue, I saw you as a person. And remember that man is made in the image of God, and when you strike down a man, you strike down God. And if it's a little baby, it's still a human being. It isn't some animal or some fowl or something like that. And so we need to be very careful when we come to pray. The three Hebrew children are a good example of this very thing. They said, the law of the land says we have to bow down and worship this idol. And they said, we are absolutely not going to do it. And they didn't do it. And here we have this little girl writes in, wants to know if Nebuchadnezzar went to heaven. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had a statue, a huge statue. And when they played the music, everybody's to bow down and worship that statue. And these three young Hebrew men absolutely refused. That was the law of the land, and they refused that law. And they stood for God, and God vindicated them. And so we have to be very careful, my dear friends. And there are people in our modern day who stood for the Lord and gave their life for it. For instance, during the Nazi regime, we had two Lutheran pastors, Martin Niemöller and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Lutheran pastors that wouldn't bow their heads to the Nazi regime. And here is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, not 40 years old. One spring day in 1945, they took him out to the gallows, and he was hung because he wouldn't follow the laws of the land. "I'm following another law," Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, and God bless him. And that's what we have to do. We have to make our stand for the Lord. This isn't child's play. It isn't some dress parade that we're in. We're in a battle with sin and with evil. And God bless America if we'll come back. But how can God bless America when we kill the babies by the millions? What a horrible sin. What an oblata. How can God bless America when they do that? And so there needs to be a turning. We need to get back to God. But let me spend now the rest of my time on talking about this heavenly citizenship. When you become a citizen of God, when you become a child of God, when you are born again, you become a part of that wonderful citizenship, the kingdom of God. And in that wonderful kingdom of God, it's the safest place in all of the earth. You'll never have to be afraid. In Ephesians 2, verse 19, he says, "Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Did you get that? The household of God. That's what, my friends, that's high society. If you want to be with the blue bloods, get in with the Christians. They're the highest society in all of the world. And then we join because God is the Father. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. The Holy Spirit is there in that household of God. The cherubim, the seraphim, those martyrs are there. And those Christians that have accepted the Lord, born over the years and now with the Lord, we'll see them all. We're part of that household. And it's perfect safety because we are with the multitude of the redeemed, and the redeemed are forever safe. And then the citizenship makes us joint heirs with Christ. In Romans 8, verse 17, God tells us, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ." That, do you know what that means? That means we're as rich as Jesus Christ. And he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, not 1,000 cattle on a hill, but the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns everything. When he measures the weight of a soul, the value of a soul, he says, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If he gains the whole world and loses his own soul, what will he get to give it back?" And the only way to get it back is the old rugged cross where Jesus shed his blood, paid for our sins, took us to the Lord. Well, a man named Zook, a commentator, Zook, writes, "Since Christians are God's children, they're his heirs and they are co-heirs with Christ. They're recipients of all spiritual blessings now, and in the future they will share with the Lord Jesus in all the riches of God's kingdom." And so we have this wonderful joy as we walk with the Lord, travel with the Lord Jesus. And then his citizenship gives us protection. And here he tells us in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life." When we accept Jesus Christ, when we ask him to come into our heart, he stands at a heart door. He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I'll come into your heart. I'll come into your very being. I'll come into your life. I'm asking you to come in." I think there's some right now where you're feeling, "Oh God, he's talking to me. He wants to come into my heart. And I want him to come in." And so you just say, "As many as received him, he gave the power to become the children of God." He tells us, "I stand at the heart's door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in. I'll come in. I want to come in. And I'll have fellowship with him." And then he tells us in John chapter 10, he said, "When you accept him, I give unto them eternal life." And listen to what he says. "They shall never perish. They shall never, ever perish. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand and my Father's hand. So Jesus says here, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then he says, my Father is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. And so here you have Jesus Christ, and he holds us. And then the Heavenly Father holds us. And we're safe and ever, forever safe. When we have that, we have access to God when we're citizens of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go to him in prayer at any time, and he will hear us and he will help us. And then the last thing I put down, this citizenship gives me comfort and hope. In 1 John 1:7, we are told, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Remember this, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Sometimes I hear people say, I've sinned so bad, I know God will never forgive me. I know he'll never take me into heaven. I just know that. I said, because I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway. And how's God ever going to forgive me for that? Some will think that they've sinned so bad, there's no hope for them. Listen, it says, whosoever will may come. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him hath everlasting life. Whosoever means anybody. And you say, well, maybe I committed the unpardonable sin. You can't commit the unpardonable sin. That could only be committed when Jesus was here in the flesh. And he says, whosoever. He doesn't say, well, you accept me, except if you committed the unpardonable sin, or you've sinned against light, or you've done this, or you've done that. Then you can't be saved. Anybody can be saved this side of the grave. But once we pass over into another land, there's no more hope. It's heaven or it's hell. It's devil or it's Jesus. The devil wants your soul, and Jesus wants your soul. And you know who's going to get it? You are going to decide. Nobody's going to do it for you. Your wife, your husband, your friends, your pastor, your priest. Nobody can do it for you. You decide who you're going to give your soul to. And your soul is sold out, and you have to call in the name of the Lord and be saved. Whosoever will call in the name of the Lord will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You have to ask Jesus into your heart. You say, I've never talked to God. Just talk to him, just like you would a person, and just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned. I ask you to come into my heart, and I'll live for you the best I can. I'll forsake sin the best I can. You'll never be perfect, but you try and strive for perfection. And when you do that, you become a citizen of the kingdom of God, and you become a child of God. And so that's what we're praying on the Christian Worship Hour. You know, that's all we have in mind. We have three things in mind. We want to glorify God, and we want to help the sinners, the lost, come to Jesus and be saved, and we want to comfort the afflicted. God says, comfort ye, my people. That's all we have in mind. And so in order to do that, you have to respond. If we could do it for you, we'd do it in a minute, but we can't do it. It's your decision. And so right now, I know all over the world, the wonderful Holy Spirit is talking to hearts, and he's saying, I want to come into your heart. I want to make you a new person. I want to make you a citizen of the kingdom of God. I want to have you put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to spend eternity with me where there's no sorrow, no tears, no parting. There would be a place of joy and happiness. I want to do that. So you make that prayer, and then if you pray that way, or if you came back from the Lord, you drifted away, you came back, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, for those on shortwave, Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you just write to us, and we'll write to you, and we'll get, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, we'll write to you. We'll send you a letter and help you as you come to the Lord and trust the Lord. And those of you who are going through hard times, you're lonely, you're sick, you're in sorrowing, and you don't have a lot of hope in this life, you just trust Jesus and know that we're praying for you. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. I'm just praying that just lean on Jesus. Just put all your weight on him, and he'll carry you through. He'll bear you over. So now we're going to pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this wonderful time we've had with all of our loved ones and friends all over the world. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the many that are turning to you right now, and they're asking you to come into their heart, and they're finding everlasting life and joy and happiness as they lean on you. And to those, Lord, who are hurting and trying today, and they don't know which way to turn, and they're despairing, help them to know that you love them, that underneath are the everlasting arms, that you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. I'll be with you to the end of the age. I'll never leave you. I'll always help you. And so we just pray, Lord, you'll comfort hearts. Maybe it's some young people having big decisions to make. Maybe it's somebody caught up in the drugs or the liquor or something like that, and they want to have a new birth. They want to be a child of God and be a part of the kingdom of God. And you'll take them, no matter what they've done or who they are, you'll take them and make them strong. Help them to come. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to thank all of you for worshiping with us today. Thank you for the decisions you've made. You pray for us. We'll pray for you. Be sure to send that gift. We got it on the screen here. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Have to have your help. Have to have your prayers. And tell your friends about the service. And then the Lord willing, next week, we'll all get together and we're going to talk about the greatest, most wonderful verse in the Bible, John 3:16. I'll bet you know it. Well, that's what we're going to preach about next week. So you just join us. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.